This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagelin, Corey Majors, the famous Mike Bassick.
Holy cow.
And of course, mystery audio man himself, Alec Medford. Gentlemen, welcome to the program. Now, I've got this question, but we need to dive into some other stuff as well. Did Jerry Jones pretty much set Mike McCarthy up to fail this season? While you ponder, Jane Slater came out with a report, and obviously people picked it up quickly. Sources tell her that the initial diagnosis for Dak was a partial avulsion of his hamstring tendon, which is partially torn off the bone. Probably won't surprise you to know that usually takes more than 4 weeks. And if you need surgery, out for the season.
Hold on, what did you just say? If you need surgery, the muscle tears off the bone and it just magically attaches itself back to the bone?
Isn't that awesome?
This is a fair question that you ask because Dak is doing the right thing and he's getting more opinions. I don't know enough about medical science to know if you're going to roll up on the doctor's like, it'd be fine. He'll just stick right back on there and you'll be good to go.
Your muscles are basically made of gum.
Yeah, I don't know that to be the case, but if Mike's really thinking that over, ask your wife that tonight. But it feels like an IR stint is a cinch at this point. And then now you have the looming specter of potential season-ending surgery, which, like you said, since part of the hamstring got torn off the bone, that makes sense.
Yeah. So what's your question on this then?
My question is, I guess, like, does that change?
That's scary.
Yeah. Or does it change anything from like 2 days ago where like, oh yeah, he's hurt, he might go in the IR?
I mean, Mike, what do we discuss when it comes to injuries and aging? You just keep getting more of them. It's like, that's going to continue. And now you have a long contract with the guy. So for this season specifically, I would just say, I don't expect him back. Can you guys, you guys have felt that Cooper Rush can tread water until, I don't know if that's the case.
I want to make this very clear. I think Cooper Rush can accomplish my goals for the rest of the season.
Okay. I know what your goals are, so I appreciate that.
Or Trey Lance, I'm assuming.
Yeah, yes, either one. Or Trey Lance, he can also accomplish my goals.
They were all
for
accomplishing those goals before
yes,
these, this game.
Yes, they were.
Anyway. So that's, but that, then the for the longevity of it, like short term, bad. Longevity of it, bad too.
I'm with you, and here's the deal. If let's just say you get past Thanksgiving, and I know that we think the Giants is a winnable game, like whoever the quarterback
sure.
is. Let's just give them that win, but let's just knock them with three more losses before that game. So if you're 4-8.
What's the point?
Yeah, right? At that point, you know you're not making the playoffs. You're not going to win out, and let's just assume you do. At 9-8, you're probably not making the playoffs. Maybe you get the last wild card spot, but probably not. So then you got to look at Dak, and that ankle only has so much time left.
Yep.
And maybe, I don't know this, maybe the ankle led to this. There's no way to prove that. And there's no way I would even try to prove that. I'm just throwing out theories. A lot of times people will say, well, when you have something that's weak, something else has to compensate for that weakness.
Mm-hmm. I get that.
Exactly.
That's why you hear people who are minorly injured injure themselves in another way all the time because they're trying to protect said first injury.
Matt Harrison was the person we discussed that about a long time ago. It started with a toe, went up his leg, then it's his back, and it just kind of was all those things. He was overcompensating.
Kevin Durant, when he had the ankle thing and he decided to play and then snapped his Achilles.
Yeah.
Or the calf thing that ended up. And I'm not, and that's an example. I'm not saying this happened with Dak, but you do have to worry about that. If that ankle that he has to wear a boot on at times in the off season because of soreness and fatigue and pain, then maybe knees, hamstrings, hips have to take on more of the stuff that it is to be an NFL player slash NFL quarterback. So for me, if you are 4-8, let's say, yeah, with five games to go, and you know that this player is limited in his ability a little bit by 1%, by 10%, I don't know the percentage, because of the ankle surgeries that he's had, then maybe it's best to, like, why are we wasting four more games on a guy that only has so many games left in his career?
We will have Jerry Jones on tomorrow at 10:30.
Yes.
And I know we're going to ask, you know, how do you feel about Dak? How's Dak doing? We're going to ask those questions. And I almost guarantee Jerry Jones will say, if there's anybody that will put in the work, that anybody that can heal faster,
yeah,
from this injury than anybody else,
yeah,
it's Dak Prescott. I can almost guarantee that's going to happen tomorrow.
No, I think you're right.
And that's his job.
No, absolutely. But wouldn't you argue, I just want to make this clear, I agree with all of the points that you made on the other side about what you should do, what's smart for career longevity and everything like that. I will tell you this, like, for as much as he's had his struggles, Dak does seem like a tough MF-er that 100%. Wants to compete at all costs. So
which could be a detriment.
Yes. So my concern is, even if they are 4-8, which I could totally see that he's like, if we break off five in a row, we could still make the playoffs, put me in the damn game.
He already trained too hard. He did overtrained whenever he had the ankle injury, which caused him to have to go get another surgery on it back then.
Yeah.
You know, like that was, he worked too hard. And that's, like I said, detriment. It's not a bad thing, but it can cause bad outcomes. So yeah, I agree with you. Dak's going to be like, whatever I got to do to get out there. Because A, he's a leader. He is a leader. He wants to be out there for his guys.
I agree with that 1,000,000%.
He doesn't want to let them down. He hates that part of it. I totally understand it. This is now a question of, do you take into the short term or long term whenever you're looking at the approach for this season? How much does it matter when it looks like it's almost a lost cause already?
I'm with you. I just wonder if they'll come that conversation and they're like, hey, we're thinking about your career, long term, short term. And he says, I don't care. I want to play. Like, I can't rule out that conversation takes place.
I understand that.
I'm not saying it's a good idea.
But at this point, and I know they'll however do it, you owe him $90 million next year.
Yes, you do.
And I know that'll be a different number by the time we get to it.
I understand your point.
But you have to look at it as the Cowboys organization and go, Dak, I get what you want. You do run into issues with players union and stuff like that. I'm completely healthy and I want to play and they're not allowing me to. But I think Dak would understand. I hear what you're saying. I think Dak would want to play. I do think Dak is a highly competitive guy who wants to be out there if he's healthy enough to be out there. But I would look at a season, if you're 4-8, and let's be honest, he's probably not going to be ready to play at 4-8.
Fair enough, based on everything that we said. So this is all the contingency in case he doesn't need season-ending surgery. If he does, there you go. We'll move on our business accordingly.
I think also,
I think he'd still try to come back this season.
Can I ask you this?
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Based off of, if you're reading his, if you're lip reading correctly.
Yes.
The we suck.
It looked like he said we effing suck.
If that's true, there might not be as much fight in him for 2024. Does that make sense? If he's
that's interesting,
we aren't good. Our offensive line is below average. We have no running game. I have one receiver on this team that's of NFL starting caliber. We'll see if Mingo can do that.
Sure.
But he might go, look, I know how bad we are this year. I get it. I even, unfortunately, a camera caught me saying how bad we are this year.
Yeah.
So there might not be, I'm not saying it doesn't make him highly competitive, but he might understand the situation this is in, which then goes to the first question you asked.
I think that is a great question. Absolutely. Now, to the other part of it, and I know Bobby was answering when we were in the crosstalk, I saw a column about this that kind of had me thinking about it and doing a little bit of my own research. I believe I'm trying to double check. It was Tim Kalishaw. Yeah, Tim Kalishaw, who kind of brought up this idea. So I looked into it a little bit more. Do you think that Jerry Jones set Mike McCarthy up to fail this season?
I thought that before the season.
Okay, can you tell me why that is?
They didn't do anything to add to the team.
All right. So here's what I put, because it sounds like you and I are in lockstep. Now, Kalishaw spent a lot of the time in the column, which this is not necessarily the angle I would go to, but I really liked his idea about how Dak Prescott got a huge contract extension. CeeDee Lamb got a huge contract extension. He has no contract extension. So that kind of undercuts his authority. I'm not disputing that that's the case. But what caught me was more in line with what you said, Corey, is I was thinking about, you didn't do anything in free agency. You let your left tackle walk. Tony Pollard, who, by the way, leads the NFL in broken tackles, you let him walk and brought in Ezekiel Elliott instead. You didn't draft a running back. Instead, went with a project quarterback, even though you gave Dak his money. I think it was those...
In a raw tackle, yes, to replace the tackle you let go.
And I think it was these moves that I felt like... set up to fail was probably accurate, actually.
And if you were going to do that and you were going to say, hey, all these young players, Mike, it's your responsibility to grow them for you.
Yeah.
Then the contract that's given to the coach is the proof that it's going to be, you're growing them and grooming them for you. Otherwise, the coach is making decisions based on, I got to figure out how to win this year, because this might be my last year, rather than I have to win, or I have to grow talent while also, and develop talent while also looking to the future 3 years down the road, while in the big picture of this.
I like what you guys are saying. I won't go as far to say set him up for failure.
Okay.
I get where you're coming
and
from.
And I do have a counterpoint to maybe he didn't set him up for failure, but keep going.
Yeah, I think that setting him up to possibly make a playoff run and win the Super Bowl, you probably didn't come close to giving him that opportunity. Did you give him enough, Mike McCarthy, without all of the major injuries they've suffered, to make the playoffs? Yes,
yeah. I think
you thought they were going to make the playoffs.
I did. Absolutely,
Corey thought they were going to make the playoffs. I thought that they were going to go 10-7 and make the playoffs and get hammered in the first round.
Yep.
So we all thought that this team before the season started had enough talent to make the playoffs. That's what we all said before the season started. So now, did anybody think they were going to make a run to the NFC Championship game or the Super Bowl? No, I don't believe that you guys thought that.
No.
Maybe I'm wrong about that.
I did
that.
Not.
But you guys thought they were making the playoffs.
Yes.
So that's enough to be like, no, you're not setting them up for failure.
And that's where the other part of this comes in. Because I keep thinking about a quote that, sorry, I'm going to have to paraphrase. I don't have the exact quote. I think it was last week or so. McCarthy was insistent that ever since he started installing this particular offense, it's been working for 30 years. And I'm like, yeah. And it shows. I think Mike McCarthy, and this is where I think about your idea of like maybe he wasn't set up for failure. I think about McCarthy and saying, hey, this has worked for a really, really long time. I think the lack of variety, lack of pre-snap motion has caused this offense to be stale and at least partially, if not largely, responsible for the lack of separation from the wide receivers and the tight ends. And so that part of it is like, I don't know, maybe his own stubbornness about, oh, this has worked in the past. I don't have to hybrid it up and it'll work again.
Yeah. But what that was the promise that he made to Jerry was that he'd changed whenever he signed the deal. And then he told you, he was like, no, I was just joking. I didn't really.
That was an interesting dynamic that happened straight away. And he's like, I mean, I saw some analytics.
This would be something that I have no interest in doing. But if you do, and you have like the all 22 film, could you go back and watch the last 2 years? Literally, almost every play he ran with Aaron Rodgers, his last 2 years in Green Bay, and then watch the last 2 years here in Dallas and see if they're running the exact same plays. Then it would match up. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's
so
a good
question. Like, well, they're literally, oh, wait, that was a new play. Oh, wait, he ran five different plays this game that I didn't see in the, I don't know, 50 times 16 is
plus
800.
So in the last 1600 plays he ran in Green Bay, so you go over the last 2 years of every play he ran, and then you go over the last 2 years of every play he ran in Dallas. If you get 90% of the plays are the same.
Yeah.
He, like, I know the wordage and everything, then you're right. He didn't change at all.
And then
you'd have to go back and watch that.
That is a fair point.
And I'm not doing that.
And then I, of course, you see the people who come in and they're like, yeah, well, when you have potentially generational quarterbacks in Favre and Rodgers, that probably makes your life easier.
It does make it a lot easier.
Yeah, and then how many times does Rodgers and Dak,
bail out his coach.
That he actually doesn't even run the play that was called in because he sees something as a veteran Hall of Fame quarterback to roll out this play, and then he hits a tight end on the sideline for 28 yards, and then they kick a 50-something yard field goal, and you're out of the playoffs.
Why are you bringing up old stuff, Mike?
I was there.
I was watching it. It hurt.
It was a great play.
You know what? I got terrible news for you, Corey. Tomorrow at 10:30, a lot of old stuff's going to get brought up.
Really?
Yeah, because that's what happens.
All right.
Oh, please. This is the fakest really I've ever
heard. What's your point?
Okay, well, there you go.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.